every so often, about once a month, we have a time of testimony. It's a time of telling the stories of God's faithfulness and of his transforming power in our lives, both as worship, as praise to him, but also as encouragement to one another, as a reminder that God is real, that he's active, and that he will do the things that need to be done in our lives. Today, we're going to do something a little different than we have done. Instead of doing sort of testimonies from the floor, we've asked a couple of people to share more at length. So the first is our own Paul Ingalls, who is here. There you go. You can clap for him. That's all right. Paul is a staff person with UCM, the University Christian Ministries over at UBC, where Michelle also works. He is also a student at Regent College and is soon to be ordained with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and invite Paul to come forward and share part of his story. And after that, we're going to have a special guest from Talitha Kum, which is a ministry I'll tell you about shortly. But first, Paul.
Thanks, Barry. Hi. This is an emotional Sunday for me. I work with Michelle, and my heart is so struck. Pardon for not wearing an orange shirt today. I wore it on the 30th, so it was dirty. But I just want to mention that I haven't been going to this church for very long, but I have been so seen, heard, and honored by this congregation. And I was praying before this testimony, and I hope that what you come away with is courage and hope. Even in this time of repentance for the church, and maybe you're in a place where you have some doubts, some disappointments, some uncertainties or fears of this whole church thing and Christianity, I pray that you receive comfort and encouragement and hope this day. I feel that the Lord gave me a verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Cool. Can I tell my story? So I was in a car accident when I was 18 years old, and a helicopter picked me up from the crash site and brought me to a hospital in Vancouver, where I went into a coma. I stayed in the coma for a month and a half, and when I woke up, I had a severe brain injury. So I couldn't walk, I could barely talk. I didn't remember really anything. I didn't recognize my brother when I woke up. I weighed under 100 pounds. I couldn't play music, and I had to relearn everything. So I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I acted like a child. And my life as I had known it was pretty much over. Growing up, I was born into a Christian family with Christian parents, and very thankful for that. So thankful for my parents. And I loved going to church even as a kid. I loved Sunday school. I loved the worship, the dancing, laughing, singing, playing games. It was just like my gig, my jam, you know? And I also loved music during this time. And so when I went to high school, I went to a Christian private high school. We had to wear uniforms. And I went there to learn how to play music. But I didn't really... I didn't fit in. It was hard being there. I felt like everyone was so rich and pretentious and looked down on me. But I loved music, and so I joined my first band when I was 17 years old. We played our first show at a Halloween birthday party, and it was super lame, but it was great. And then by the time I was 17, I was in a new band, and we were pretty good. And so we were playing shows downtown Vancouver. We had music on Spotify. We were on the radio. We were on CTV once. We were once played a show on North Vancouver Beach in front of 1,000 people. It was so cool. And my band was my life. They're the ones I spent all my time with, I hung out with, and they're the ones who loved me, who valued me and accepted me and gave me worth. And so after I graduated high school, we decided to take the next step. So we bought ourselves a big, creepy 12-passenger white van. And we booked a month-long tour. And we booked a 25-show tour across BC, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. And it was so fun. It was so fun. Tour was amazing, playing shows and traveling. We played one show that was pretty unique, because usually we played bars, pubs, and venues. But one show we played at a youth drop-in center, and five kids showed up and sat on the floor as they watched us. And I remember playing that show and being so humbled by them, because I realized that they probably lived in families broken up with alcoholism, abuse, poverty, something worse. And all I had to give them was this stupid little dance, you know? Again, I was 18 years old, and after that show, I had to process what had happened, so I went to the roof of the venue, and I looked out over the city, and it was beautiful, and I prayed there probably for the first time that summer, and I asked God to bring me back to Him, because I realized that all that I'd had as a kid growing up in Sunday school, being so loved, being seen, accepted, and heard, and honored, I didn't have that anymore. So I said, God, please bring me back to you. We played the last show of that tour in Alberta. And I remember having a really bad feeling about the car ride going home, but I didn't really care. I had no plans for school or work lined up. My band was my life. We got into the car accident just outside of Hope on the way home at about 5 a.m. And the helicopter picked me up. And I woke up a month and a half later. And I hated myself in recovery. I hated what I'd become. I hated that I couldn't do anything. I felt so ashamed. I felt so embarrassed. I felt like such a disappointment. Why would anyone love me? Why would anyone care for me? I was this worthless, I was hardly even a person. And so I had a loop in my head. And I told myself, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I said that for years, because that's all I wanted. But during that time, man, I worked so hard. I worked so hard, because I had to heal. I had to get better. And I had to rebuild myself brick by brick with all of my pride and all of my strength and my performance and my showmanship. But recovery was such an unforgiving God. There's an idol is something you worship instead of God, and recovery was my idol, because that would give my life meaning and hope. And I would never be good enough. It was so unforgiving. I would be perpetually condemned to be a disappointment and a failure. And so I told myself, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, because that's all I wanted during that whole time. And man, I spent about a year living like that in recovery. Every day, my full-time job was recovery. All I thought about, all I talked about, all I looked forward to was healing. And after a year, I finally realized that I couldn't do it. I couldn't live like that. So I remember I got on my knees, and I prayed, just like I had prayed the year before on the roof of that venue. But this time I said, God, I need you to do for me something that I cannot do. I need you to heal me. And if you heal me, I will give you my entire life. I will go, say, do anything for you, because you had to give me something that I don't deserve. And it was a long, hard road from there. It did not come quickly. But about 9 months later, I went to a Bible college, because my therapists were like, you're recovering, continue to challenge yourself. And so I was still really messed up, but I took 3 classes at first because no one had any hope for me to do anything more. And I chose Bible college because it was like the safest place that I could go to do that. And I went there, and it was hard, and I had all kinds of problems. I had to figure it out. I was still in recovery. But you know what? Like, I got through it, and I just kind of kept going back. And year after year, semester by semester, very slowly, I healed and I recovered. Until 5 years later, I graduated in 2020 with my undergrad. I received my calling into ministry. I'm studying now at Regent College, and I work with UCM because Jesus saved my life. So now I live for him. Glory to God.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah. Before you go, let's just pray a brief prayer blessing on Paul. Father, thank you for your love for Paul. Thank you for literally saving his life. And we pray that you would receive his life, that you would plant it and nurture it to produce lasting fruit. I know his deep desire, Lord, is to be able to look back on a life of faithfulness and to see the people that have come to know you, to see the people who have learned to follow you. I pray that you would fulfill that desire and more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to invite Mary to come forward. Mary's going to introduce the next person who's going to give testimony. Mary is with Talitha Kum, which is a nonprofit organization empowering women with addictions to lead healthy and fulfilling lives by providing a home, a nurturing community, a 12-step programming, and life skills training. So, Mary, lovely to meet you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us here today. I feel so blessed to be able to speak with you just very briefly, because it's not my story to tell. Helen's going to tell her story. Talitha Kum is a society that started about 23 years ago now. It was started by a woman named Star Pearden, who had been in addiction for a long period in her life, had been through the penal system, the criminal system, been on the streets for a long time. And when she healed back in 1993, she came out and she wanted to start a home for women who kind of fell through the cracks of getting support. So that's sort of at the very beginning with Star. And since that time, we've have two homes right now in Coquitlam that can house 9 women in each of the homes. We have some women who are mothers that bring their young children, 6 and under, to live with them while they go through recovery. Helen, do you want me to say any more? I'll let you tell the rest. Okay, I'll bring up Helen. Helen is a staff now at Talitha Kum, but she'll tell her story.
Thank you so much for having us here today and hosting us, and you, God bless you. I find I've been very, very touched today with like the hospitality and the love, and just, I feel so full of hope and gratitude today by walking into our congregation. It's absolutely beautiful. Before I walked through the door, I got 4 hugs. What a great way to start off a Sunday. Thank you so much for having us. You know, life is a trip, right? Life is a trip. You know, I came from a really good background, a really good home. I was adopted, but I came into a loving family, right? Never did I think for one second that I was going to wake up one morning and make that one choice. And that choice was to pick up drugs and alcohol. It has taken me on a 25-year fight for my life. You know, it's taken me the streets of downtown Vancouver. I've lived on the streets. I've lived in alleyways. I've been through abuse. been through tragedy. And I've tried many, many times to get clean and sober. Many, many times. I've gone to some really expensive treatment centers. You know, I've hurt a lot of people. One of the things I've lost the most of is time. And when I say that, I lost time as a child. I lost time as a young adult. I lost time with my family, my friends, opportunity. You know, all those things that sometimes, you know, we take for granted, right? It's taken me 25 years to figure that out, to see, like, I've lost, what I've lost, you know? And, you know, I've had some clean time. I had 7 years, and I fought for my life through that 7 years. But something's always been missing, right? And something really, really was missing. And I really had no idea what that was. And I was, like, searching, but I couldn't really figure that out, right? And I got really comfortable in that pain and that cycle, right? So I would get clean and sober. I'd do things a bit differently, not completely differently. And then I couldn't handle the way I felt, right? I hated myself. I felt lost. I had no clue who I was or what my purpose was. And I found that I ended up being really, really comfortable in addiction, because even though it was painful, it was abusive, it was comforting because at least I knew what I was. And then I relapsed. I had my last relapse, and that was 1 year and 3 months ago. And 2 days before I came into Lethal Coombs, I tried to take my life because I really didn't see any other way out. I know I was alone, I was desperate, and I really didn't see another way. And I just kind of came to terms with the idea that maybe this was my allotment in life, right? And I was so tired of hurting other people. I was tired of watching other people suffer due to my addiction, right? God saved me. You know, God got me in an ambulance to a hospital, saved my life. And at that point, you know, like, I can honestly say I didn't have very much faith in God. My upbringing was, my mom believed in God. I went to Sunday school, and the only reason I went was because I got to go to White Spot afterwards. Yay, White Spot, still a lovely place. And, you know, but I didn't really believe, right? And because of where I had been taken, and I'd seen the darkness of addiction and homelessness and mental health, right? I really didn't believe that, why would God do this to people? And that was the piece that was missing. So when I got out of that hospital after my suicide attempt, I went back home and I picked up drugs again. And somehow or other, I was picked up one morning, and I had a choice to get more or to get help. And I can honestly tell you, I don't remember getting into that cab. I don't remember getting to Lethal Coombs. And I don't remember really how I walked through that door, because it was not me. And by the grace of God, that's where my journey started. And it was in my third day, part of Talitha Kuma is that we do Bible study. We go to church every Sunday. It's a faith-based program. It teaches us how to live life, how to cook dinner, how to be accountable, responsible. And on that third day, I went to my first Bible study, and that's when it happened. I heard this message, I got this curiosity, and it was, I can't even explain, it was probably one of the most powerful feelings I've ever had. I'm like, I need to know you. I need to know your story. Like, you're my father. And that piece that had been missing, all of a sudden just like lifted me. And I started seeking. It was the first time that I felt that I was not alone. Right? I was not alone, and my journey shows that I ended up getting baptized. I ended up getting confirmed. Church is where I feel the safest, and I can honestly believe, I believe that God is what takes me through my life, right? It's not my will, it's His will, right? And, you know, Talitha Kum is just this family of the heart. It is a God-filled place. It shows and helps people beyond. Only by God could this happen, right? I look at a lot of the women that go through there, and I look at the backgrounds and the lives that they have. And without the guidance of TK and of God, women's lives are getting saved, and they're also making a difference in the world, you know? I'm no longer a self-centered person, right? I look at other people, right? I'm able to help other people. I'm able to show up for myself. I'm able to show up for others, right? And I was a very self-centered addict. It was all about my needs. This place has saved my life. It's my home away from home. I loved it so much, I decided to work there. The people that run it are vessels of God. That's the only way I can say it. And they've given me my life back from a hopeless, dark place where I really only saw one way out. And they brought me to you. You know, and I hear these beautiful stories of hope and strength, and how can you even argue if there's a God? How can you? So thank you so much for having us here today. I think I may be back.
Thank you, Helen. Don't go away, don't go away. We'll pray for a quick blessing on you as well. Father, thank you for Helen. Thank you for saving her life and for bringing her here to be able to share what you've done so far. I just think of all the possibilities of her life, Lord, and declare over her that her life is not over. Her life is only just starting. Thank you for all of the people that you're going to touch through her faithfulness, even through her testimony. We bless her as our sister in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you may be wondering, like, how do we get connected to Talitha Kum? I know the interim executive director. And actually, many of you know her as well. Maureen, are you still, is she upstairs? Oh, she's upstairs. Maureen, who interned here, is now the interim executive director at Talitha Kum. And so we had chatted about this. I do want to call something to your attention here. They're a nonprofit. And maybe some of you would be interested in partnering with them financially. If you're interested in that, there are these cards. I think we'll have some out in the front, as well as we have a number of visitors today from Talitha Kum. Could you raise your hands just so we can identify you? Okay. So you have a chance to make a personal connection with someone, pick up a card, and offer financial partnership to have a share in something that God is using to make a difference in people's lives.